Well, Father, I thank you for these people came out this morning to sit in your presence. I just thank you, Father God, you are so strong in the atmosphere here today. I thank you, Father, that you know all things and that you are bringing us through the difficult times in our lives. And as the people hear your voice today, Father, let them understand that you are more than enough. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Here. All right, so God wants us to know that he's more than enough, all right? So let's look at Psalms 23, verse 1, a psalm of David. Oh, before I start, did anybody watch the video? Is the video up of Astrid's teaching Thursday night? You did an awesome job, Astrid. It looked like you had been doing that for years. So, you know, just really, you know, you need to come out. And I couldn't understand what she said, but I knew she was doing it with all of her heart, you know, because she's speaking in Spanish. But it was super good. It was such an anointing on it. And she even said she saw angels, right, in here. You know, it's awesome. If you can't understand, just come out and enjoy the presence of the angels and God and everything, all right? And your praise and worship was in Spanish too? Wow, I didn't see that part. It's every Thursday night at 7. She has her own little service going on here. Amen. Well, I'm sorry. It's God. It's God's service using Astrid as the vessel to work through. All right, now let's go back to Psalm 23. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, as you read this morning, read it like you really mean it. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, do you really mean that? When you read that scripture, do you put it down in your heart? Because if you do, then nothing is going to bother you from this day forward. Absolutely nothing, right? Because you just confessed that the Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want. All right, this is where God starts speaking. My grace is sufficient, and my love is more than enough. My children need not look to the world to satisfy, for I have all that you have need of. You see that? Children, I wait every morning to hear your voice. I have so much to speak to you about. But you do not come to the throne of grace to hear. Then you fuss when things don't go the way you think they should. I want to ask you a point-blank question. Who do you think I am, and what do you think I need to give to you? I am the author and finisher of your life. You are not the author and finisher of my life. So what are we doing here? All right? Your life is laid out before you in my word. There is instruction from front to back, and all you have need of is written therein. And God said, I truly am more than enough. See, if you don't read the book, you don't know what the instructions are. All right, I don't know how to use my cell phone. I need to read the book. Are you understanding this? Come on. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, for by him all things were created, talking about God, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. All right, that's what the word says about him. Now, this is God speaking. Let me ask you another question. Are you getting these questions down here? Why would I create an entire world with everything you have need of? Why did I do this? I did this so I could lavish upon you all that you have need of. I did this so I could splurge extravagant love upon my children. I have held nothing back from my beloved children. I forgive over and over again. I send my love to the unlovable, and all I ask in return is for you to love me. That's all God wants out of you. And when you love him, he just pours himself and pours himself and pours himself all over you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him." You know, a lost person does not know that they have a loving Father. And it's our job as children of God to let that person know that they are loved by the Father. It's more important that they know they're loved by the Father than it is that they know that you love them. Because your love will fade. God's love never fades. God said, all through the book, I give explicit instructions how to live your lives. I left nothing out. There is no second guessing on how to live. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Have you noticed how now they're all of a sudden coming out with, they found an error in the Bible? You know, it totally blows my mind. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Now let's hear that again. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. God said, I did not just create an earth and throw two people upon it and then walk away from it. No, I stayed close at hand, and I watched over all of my creation, and I kept speaking through my prophets, telling my beloved ones that I am there. I can hear their cries, and I am just a whisper away. I sent my angelic beings to watch over them and keep them safe. I did all a loving parent should do. And I was then, and I still am, more than enough. Psalm 138, verse 7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble. Now listen to what the Word of God is saying. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. The psalmist is crying out to God, saying, I know that you're there. God says, don't you see, children, that I want to meet all of your needs, not just one or two, but all your needs according to my riches and glory? And then Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, God wants to supply everything that you have need of. And our problem is we're trying to supply it, and we're not doing a good job of it at all, and we're blaming God. We need to put God in control of all things in our life. All things. There's nothing that you can possibly do yourself. Nothing. That God can do it all. God says, you see, I have all that you have need of in my heavenly storehouse. There is not one thing that you have need of that I do not have in reserve for you. And I so desire to give all things into your bosom, but you will not allow me to do so. Read that again. You see, I have all that you have need of in my heavenly storehouse. There is not one thing that you have need of that I do not have in reserve for you. And I so desire to give all things into your bosom, but you will not allow me to do so. I thought it was neat. He said, I have in reserve for you. So individually, each one of us, everything we'll ever have need of, God already has it there in reserve for you when you ask for it. When you ask for it the right way. Amen. God said, you grumble and complain. And then when I don't move when you want me to, you throw your hands up and say, well, what is the use? Amen. Isn't that what we do? When in reality, God says, when in reality, if you would throw your hands up and say, what a mighty God I serve, and keep praising me until the answer comes, you would see all things being poured out upon you. Now, what if Joseph would have given up? What if Moses had given up? What if my son Jesus had given up? What if Job had given up? Do you see the picture here? As you read my word, you will see over and over again where the saints could have thrown up their hands in the air and said, what's the use? First of all, number one, Joseph could have said, what's the use? I will rot in this prison cell. Moses could have said, what is the use? These people will always grumble and complain. We might just as well turn around and go back to the leeks and the garlic. My son Jesus could have said, what's the use? These people will not believe me, and they like their pigsties. Job could have agreed with his wife, cursed me and died. But they did not do this. They each stayed in faith, no matter what the circumstance, and they fulfilled their destiny. They knew I was more than enough. God says, but they did not do this. They each stayed in faith, no matter what the circumstance, and they fulfilled their destiny. They knew I was more than enough. You know, the reason why I'm quite sure that God is teaching us that he's more than enough is because we are all going through some really bad transitions right now. And we're growing weary in some areas of our walk with God. And we need to understand that he called us. He is not going to forsake us. And he is more than enough, and he will bring us through. All right. Then God said, I am more than enough today, and I will be more than enough tomorrow and every day after. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. See that? Come on. My God shall supply all that I have need of. My God, Father in heaven, not my next door neighbor, you're not my husband, not my wife, but my God. God said, I would like for you to sit down and honestly write down each time I was not more than enough. God said, my word says in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, do you believe God's word or do you not? No, you don't. Quit shaking your head yes at me. Because he says, fear not. A lot of us walk in fear. For I am with you. Be not dismayed. And how many times do we get dismayed? For I am your God. I will strengthen you. And we don't believe that because we fall to pieces. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, if the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, don't get excited. All right? Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. You see that? Let's read that again. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. You really don't have any enemies, because God said your enemies are his enemies and they are his footstool. And all we're supposed to do is walk on and let God give our enemies to God and let him have control of them and quit trying to take them back again. I think the reason why you do is because you just like to fight. That just came to me, so I thought I'd say that. You just like a good fight is what I heard. But let God have the good fight. And you walk on and do the things God is calling you forth to do. Now, here, this is why that didn't make sense. Bill Yout, you know, he's over from over in Maryland, put out a prophetic word. He said, there was a time when I felt I could no longer endure the painful trial going on in my life for so long. He had a frozen shoulder is what he's talking about, all right? He said, in frustration, I cried out to God, what are you doing to me? And he said, I'm making a man of God out of you. He continued, I did not cause your pain, but I'm using it. Sister Deborah, that's what you said God told you. And then Bill Yacht says, I chose a physical therapist to stretch my arm. The pain was so great, I laughed. I said to him, am I going crazy? Why did I laugh when I felt the worst pain in my life? He said, that is your release. That laughter is your release. Bill said, I now believe pain can be an ingredient of laughter. What did God tell us about excitement and joy yesterday? I promise you, Bill Yout says, I promise you, if you are now in pain that is beyond words, there will be a time when you will laugh again and even drown in God's laughter. And Luke 6:21 said, blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Then Bill went on to say, there was a time when my pain almost stopped my ministry. On a ministry trip, I became powerless to the pain that justified me not going to the next meeting. My wife and I prayed, but no relief. I find home to our intercessors for prayer. One intercessor, after praying, said, Bill, you're on a mission. God has sent you there. You can trust him. Something clicked in my spirit. I dragged my body to that meeting. The moment I stood up to minister, the pain left me. After the meeting, it returned with a vengeance. It fought me to the next meeting 2 days later. When I got up to minister, it left again, and then followed me home as this took place with many of my meetings. Something dawned on me. I am stretching my spiritual muscles. You know, he kept going through the pain. I want to encourage you, Bill Yacht said, I want to encourage you, sometimes you must walk through some stuff, to get where God, to get to where God is. He says, I want to encourage you. And I say, I want to encourage you. Sometimes you must walk through some stuff to get to where God is. He went on to say, but remember, you are on a mission and the great I am has sent you. He says, spiritual frozen muscles in the body of Christ. Many times what I experience in my physical body is what is going on in the body of Christ. I sense the Lord showing there are some spiritual frozen muscles in his body. And I can say amen to that, can't you? We know that, right? Bill says, and I hear the Lord saying, you need to stretch those muscles, stretch until it hurts. Many of your healings will come while you are being stretched by others. By others. Amen. I am stretching you this season out of your frozenness. I am stretching your, this is God speaking, Bill, to Bill Yount. I am stretching you this season out of your frozenness. I am stretching your arms further than you would like so they can reach around a world full of pain, sin, and brokenness. Read that again. God said, I am stretching you this season out of your frozenness. He wants to get you out of your mess. I am stretching your arms further than you would like. Why? So they can reach around a world full of pain, sin, and brokenness. Those frozen muscles will thaw from the fire of my spirit as you allow me to stretch you. Then Bill Yacht goes on to say, being stretched against the odds. A woman kept standing, and I thought about us with Larry. A woman kept standing for the healing of her husband who suffered a stroke, leaving a third of his brain dead. The doctor said to her, he will never fully recover and will be a vegetable the rest of his life. The woman said, no. By the stripes of Jesus, he is healed. The doctor got upset with her and said, I don't think you are taking me seriously. I have been doctoring these cases for 30 years. The woman responded, Jesus has been healing longer than that. 9 days later, her husband walked out of the hospital whole. Amen. Isaiah 10:27 says, in that day his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder, and his yoke from off your neck, and yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Then Bill said, after several months of pain, prayers of many, stretching exercises, some laser treatment, my frozen shoulder is finally loosed. The pain is gone. God has intervened again in my life. Then he said, Lord, help us to keep stretching and allowing you to stretch us beyond our pain. I'm saying no matter what, and Bill Yad is saying to you, no matter what, God, what's going on in your life, you have to keep moving for God. You can't stop. There's somebody out there that needs you to keep stretching your muscles to get you out of that frozen state of me. Are you listening, church? God is more than enough. Romans 8:31 says, so what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us? Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying, threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you, hate God. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Now that's all Scripture, Romans 8:31-39. Now, the person that wrote this knew his father. He knew that God was more than enough. The body of Christ needs to understand that God is more than enough. You know, somebody mentioned, you know, yesterday there was drugs in her family. And they said it was like an octopus and the tentacles are long and stretches out all over. But, you know, we need to understand that even in those situations, God is more than enough. Yesterday I ran into a situation and the people started judging and I said, look, each one of you, I want you to stop, be quiet right now. I want you to think about what you've been doing in your life. And if you are without sin, then you can continue to talk. If not, just shut up. You have no right to be judging this person because your sins are just as bad as theirs. And this is what the body of Christ must do. We must quit judging everybody around about us. We need to keep our eyes on us. Make sure that we're right before God at all times. Because we have a work to do and it is not judging others. Right? We need to stop judging the addicts. We just need to stop judging our brothers and our sisters about the way they dress, the way they talk, the way they act. You know what? Our job is to give all that to God. And if he's more than enough for us, then he's sure more than enough for everybody around about us. All right. My question to you is God, remember God told Bill Yad he was making a man out of him. My question to you is God making a man or a woman out of you? You know, through whatever you're going through. Is he using your pain to grow you up? You're using my toe to really make me pray. Amen. You know, one of the names of our God is Jehovah Jireh, which means the all-providing one. He provides more than enough. Are you listening? I remember, God, you say I'm Jehovah Jireh to a lot of people when I prophesied to them. He was telling that person, I'm more than enough. Doesn't matter what you're going through, I'm greater than this thing you're going through. It doesn't matter how many people have abandoned you, I'm still here and I'm greater and I love you. And I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. Then I wrote down there in red letters, our God is more than enough. Now we sang those songs this morning and we got excited with them. But did you really live them? Saying, run, devil, run. Do you really chase the devil out of your life? Out of your home? Do you really go the extra mile for your brother or your sister who is bound? You know, not everybody's going to get saved like you did. You might have gotten radically saved, but the brother or sister that you want to be radically saved just might not get radically saved. Maybe they can't stand radical. You know what I'm saying? Maybe radical's too much for them. So God has to take and bring them through little by little by little. He will put circumstances in their life. I'm going to teach something Wednesday night. It's just something I taught years ago that's really neat. And I think the body of Christ has to hear it again. But, you know, God does things little by little by little because he wants them to stick. That's not what I'm going to teach, but he wants them to stick. He doesn't want you to forget from where you came from. He wants you to always remember that. And he might make you go through some really hard times because he knows if he doesn't make you go through that hard time, you're going to slip right back in there again. But if he makes you struggle and fight the devil to get set free, then you're not going to go back there again. You're going to stay set free because you don't want to go through into that cesspool and go round and around and around that mountain ever again. And if God has set you free instantly, then you went back into your sin, saying, oh, he'll just whip me out of this again, and then he doesn't. Then you have to fight, then you get all upset with God. You see, he said, okay, you wouldn't take my sudden freedom, I'll let you fight for your own freedom. I'll be there with you, but I'm going to make you fight through it. I won't let you be stranded. I won't drop you. But I'm going to teach you a lesson. You know, I think about Samson when he says that. Samson was so used to just getting up and shaking himself, and the anointing was there. And he got up that one day and shook himself. There was no anointing. It caused him his life, didn't it? Because he took God's grace for granted. And see, too many people take God's grace for granted. And so God just has to let you learn a little bit of a lesson. He taught me a lesson years ago, and so I really do fear God. I don't want another lesson teaching. I don't want to have to pass another test. Amen. So my question to you this morning, is God really more than enough in your life? Is he greater than anything or anybody that's coming against you? He's definitely greater than the devil that has you bound. He definitely is. I don't know about you, but I don't know why people serve the devil, and I don't want to find out. But God is so much greater. He's so much, you know, he is God. The devil's nobody. And, you know, whenever God gives me these prophetic teachings and I look up the scriptures and everything, I really get into places and I get to reading things I've read for years and years, and I see things I never saw before. And this is the way the body of Christ is. You've been around God so much, you just become used to him. You don't really have, you don't trust him. You don't honor him. You just don't give him that first place in your life. And you just know he's always going to be there. How many times have you heard, if you do marriage counseling at all, which I used to and I quit, people just took their spouse for granted. Known it was always going to be there. Never prayed for them, never really did anything special for them, just knew they were always going to be there. And one day they weren't there, they just left. Why? Because you lost interest in them, really, and you took them for granted, and they were just another piece of furniture in your home. And this is what we've done with God. He's just another thing in our life that we really don't respect the way we ought. But God surely is more than enough, no matter what your circumstance is.